Wait, Guild Wars 2 with pugs?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
Not like with dogs.
I just... Okay,
I'm... How long have you been playing video games?
Long enough that I've been playing... I've been playing enough Spelunky where pugs are a vital thing.
Have you been playing Nintendogs?
Welcome to the 25th episode of the Scotchcast. My name is Conrad Thurbleton Kirby. This is episode 25. Fuck, goddamn, I didn't. All right. just keep going.
Just go with it.
All right, let's go going. This is an explicit podcast for adults or at least kids who want to be, you know, living on the edge. Cool. This is for the week of January 14th, 2014. Joined with me today on this hopefully not wreck of a podcast is Shinboy,
16? Goddamn right.
And then also Squiddle.
So I hear that Geppetto is now attacking Tyria. I think we should all run away from the giant Pinocchio that is going to decapitate everyone.
So I know we don't want to talk too much about.
Hold on, let's get into the semantics.
Yeah,
here.
I really want to get into this.
Is Pinocchio a marionette?
He was.
Is he like a puppet, or is there a difference?
I mean, there's
no a puppet. You stick your hand up their ass. A marionette, you have strings that.
Okay,
but the Pinocchio has no strings, does he?
Now he doesn't, but he did.
He becomes a real boy.
That's when you stick your hand up his ass.
Yeah. Wait, what?
I'm trying to remember, goddamn Pinocchio was just a wooden like thing that just hung out on a chair if he had strings attached to him.
Yeah, because
it's been so long since I watched that movie.
Because I know he has all like the limbs like a marionette.
And then here's something else. If they have the technology to make the like disc fly and hover in the air, why don't they just put that technology in the marionette and not have the strings?
Yeah.
Because the marionette is a symbol for us all being her puppets?
Okay. Oh, because reasons. Okay.
Oh, because symbolism.
Her being, what's symbology? Symbolism?
Let's see.
He
was created as a small wooden puppet. That's what Wikipedia says.
Okay.
But Wikipedia, I mean, come on.
All right. Well, on the Scotchcast, we like to talk about video games in general, as much as we do also like to talk about Guild Wars 2 as a
Disney films. Style,
and Disney films, and whatever. Talk about whatever.
Geppetto, make a man out of you.
I guess let's start off with what we've been playing.
Sure. That sounds like a topic.
All right. Chinboy, how you been?
I've been doing all right. How have you been?
I've been all right. I actually just came from watching The Jerk at a local theater.
Were you born a small black child?
I've never seen that movie before.
Poor black child. Excuse me. I misquoted.
That's a really good quality movie.
It's pretty good, really dumb. That's really dumb.
What have you been up to? Let's put the spotlight on you, Shinboy.
I've been playing many Japanese video games.
Uh-oh.
For Nintendo platforms. Nintendo can do on my PC downstairs on an emulator.
And that's... Okay. We'll get to what you're playing, but I was listening to some folks talk about that, that whole aspect of playing old games on the new Gaikai PlayStation Now thing, and how like, I don't want to pay so much money to get this new version for current system. And in the back of my head, I'm just like, we've had PC emulators for years.
It's a quote unquote legal way.
Emulators are illegal. They're perfectly legal as long as
you own
have
the
disc.
Yeah.
And you technically, for the newer systems at least, have to dump your own BIOS.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you own like an old cartridge of it, you could have an emulator and you'll still be fine. And then you could play it on, for example, a Steam box or stream through a Steam box.
That depends if the emulator has a Linux build, but theoretically, yes.
Yeah. Well, it's hopefully when they get that streaming stuff out there, they'd say that's on the back burner for the Steam Box, but that's the stuff I'm more interested in. I don't really want to build a whole new second computer.
Or, hey, you just use your Windows computer with Steam on it, and then you put an emulator on your Windows machine, and you're good.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just sort of have a Windows machine. What you can do is set it so you have Steam open, like when Windows starts, and it opens in big picture mode by default, and you just add a shortcut to whatever emulator to Steam.
Oh. There you go.
Problem solved, yeah.
So, yeah. Or if you didn't want to take it one step further and make it an all-around media machine, you install XBMC, have that run on start, and use an XBMC extension to like a custom program launcher from within XBMC, and use that to launch Steam in big picture mode, and then use that to launch the emulator. Or just launch the emulator straight from XBMC.
Hold on.
It's kind of complicated.
I'm going to blow your mind even further. You could go old school and install Light or Dark Step and remove all icons or, you know, any remote thing that even if resembles Windows, and then there you go. And then,
you can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
It sort of sits there.
All right. So, or alternatively, you could just have, play old Japanese games on just regular emulator like you've been doing, Shinboy. So what games have you been emulating, I guess?
I have been emulating Final Fantasy III, which is technically Final Fantasy VI for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Okay, cool. How's that?
It's great for
nostalgic purposes, or had you never gotten around to it?
I've started that game so many times. Like, I played that game back in high school, probably about... I think looking back on it, I played less than I thought I did. I originally thought I played about 20 hours of it, but I don't remember any of the stuff that I'm doing. So maybe I only played a few hours of it. And then like my computer crashed and needed to get it wiped and I lost all that nonsense. So I've started that game a whole bunch of times. So I went, you know what, over winter break, I'm just going to sit down and just play a lot of this game finally.
And was this the moment, that you actually finished it?
No, because that game's long.
Okay.
I'm like 13 hours in, something like that.
You know, on the topic of long-ass Japanese games, I'm surprised Ni No Kuni didn't get a lot more love this year for Game of the Year stuff.
I don't know. I didn't play it. Apparently it got really grindy.
Well, yeah, it was like 40-some-odd hours or maybe even more than that. But it's just that it looked really good.
The good JRPGs are 40 hours long with like no filler.
Ah.
Or no grinding. Or the grinding is minimal and feels worth it. Like, I've had to grind just a bit in FF6 because of the way their like class and job system works is you get espers, which are basically like hold items. And at the end of each fight, depending on what you fought, you gain a certain number of points. And those points, depending on the esper you're holding, let you learn magic. So, like, say you're holding an esper that has cure times 10. So, and then like a percentage bar. Each magic point is 1%, and then it gets thrown into the multiplier. So say you fight a group of enemies that gives you, two magic points. It gets thrown into the multiplier. You get 20%, and then obviously when it hits 100, that person learns that skill, and you can switch it around and all that. And each of those things also has an active that you can use once per battle. So it's pretty complicated. But that feels worth it, because if you find something that has a skill that you really want on a lot of your people – that maybe has like a times 20 multiplier or something ridiculous like that, you can sort of pass it around between people and it doesn't take super long to grind out the skills. And oftentimes it's worth it because, you get an extra person with heal or something like that.
Nice.
That's what the good games do.
Like, and that is good. Sweet. Well, I mean, hopefully we'll see how Banner Saga does with its release. Because it seems a bit more basic design, but it could be just as grindy and all that. So
it's sort of an RPG style game. It's technically an RPG. It's not like it's more of a an SRPG like Fire Emblem or XCOM.
Yeah,
XCOM's more of a straight strategy game, more like Fire Emblem.
I got beef with XCOM, but we'll get to that later.
It's because you're bad at it.
No.
How many times have I died?
Just we want to get this over with now.
No, because when we talk about XCOM, I have to remind everyone that I am undefeated in XCOM.
Okay, we'll let that stew for a while. So what other games, or is there a specific moment or experience in Final Fantasy 3/6 that you want to share?
Let's just call it 6, because okay. It's 6. Come on.
FF6. Anything from that?
The opera is really great.
Okay.
I had to do that a few times, because you have to, like, remember lines, which is kind of funny. And remember, like, certain motions. You actually sort of have to act out the opera. There's, like, the ghost train, which is sort of a famous scene in that game, which is really good. It's one of those weird, quirky Final Fantasy bosses where you can just sort of kill it by using a phoenix down on it.
Okay.
There's a lot of moments like that. There's a lot of quirky things in that game, at least so far. And all of the writing is great. All the characters are great. Kefka is the best villain of all time. So anyone should play FF6 if you're interested. It's a Super Nintendo game, so it's super easy to emulate.
Nice.
I recommend, was it Higan? Higan? It's, there's three different versions of it. There's a performance, a balanced, and an accurate one. The reason I recommend that over something like, was it ZSNES, is because it has more support for filters and stuff. So I'm running like a scanline filter and all that on it to make it look better.
Just improved graphics and whatnot.
It's not really improved graphics. Like, the games still look more or less the same because it's just, you know, the same ROMs. It's just that you can throw, like, RGB filters on it and, like I said, like, scanline stuff just to sort of make it look like it's running on a CRT instead of, like, you know, modern cool. HDTV.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't need all the – I mean, if you want to, you can go get the super expensive several $100 scalers, but those are for crazy people.
Wait, so I hate to go down this rabbit hole, but what do you mean scalers? Like,
if you have like an old system, like an old Super Nintendo, and you want to play it on like a modern HDTV, like a modern LCD TV, and get it to look the best, you're going to need a piece of hardware that takes the RGB input and properly scales it for a modern television. There's a whole thread on GAF. I'll link it so you can put it in the show notes.
Okay.
Instead of using like regular component, because RGB just looks a whole lot better. The colors are better. The definition is better. Everything just looks more crisp.
Is that what they did for that, for the, why am I drawing a blank on it? The game that they play on the show.
Oh, Windjammers?
Windjammers. Is that what he did?
I doubt it.
Oh, okay.
Cause these things are like $400 if you want a good, if you want like a standard one.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't remember all the details because I haven't really looked into it that much because it's out of my price league.
Sure.
But you can go down a horrible, crazy rabbit hole. Oof. Yeah, that's fun stuff. Emulation.
Nice.
Yeah, I've been playing that.
I know there's other stuff that...
There's other stuff, yeah. I have been continuing the JRPG kick that I've been on. Man, I'm going to play so many JRPGs this year. I downloaded the Bravely Default demo, which is out on the 3DS eShop. That is another long game. That demo is like 7 hours long.
Cool. Wait, a demo?
Yes.
That's unheard of, in my opinion.
It's not a vertical slice either. It's a 7 hour long side story.
That's
so basically
pretty awesome.
Like, when the demo starts, you're in like this town in the middle of the desert. And, like, the mayor or guard or whatever, the head dude in the town. It's just like, yo, man, sorry to pull you away from your main objective, main quest, but we got problems. And then you just go on through a series of, like, 3 dungeons, and there's bosses at the end of each dungeon. And then there's, like, an end boss, and then there's, like, an end game boss. So the demo has an end game. You finish the one boss, the big dragon. And then there's a big thank you for playing. Hopefully we see you in the main version. And then it gives you another boss to fight.
Nice.
Which is kind of funny. There's an amazing moment at the end of that where you beat the dragon, you go back to the town, and the dude's standing there. And all the main characters in your party turn around and start mentioning, like, hey, thanks for joining us. Hopefully we see you again real soon. And they're all looking at you, the player. And then the main dude's just like, who are you talking to? And they're all just like, wait, what? And they turn back around and talk to him again. Amazing.
Fourth wall
breaking moment.
Yeah.
But in terms of like gameplay, that game could not be more different than something like FF6 in terms of how its class system is handled.
Oh, wait, that's the one you linked to that image thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The AR video with some interesting camera angles that you could get with the fairy. Oh, jeez. I'll throw that in the show notes too. Goddamn right.
So yeah. What else besides creepy Japanese stuff have you been playing that might be...
No, I want to talk about Bravely Default, because Bravely Default is great.
Okay.
Yeah, she got a pretty mouth.
It's great for many things, it would seem.
Yeah. Fits all tastes. Okay, so have either of you played any of the, I guess, old school Final Fantasy games with, like, job class systems? Like,
no.
FF.
No, the last one I ever played was Final Fantasy X, or the only one, actually, okay. I only played.
Okay, so that does not have, that just has, you know, this person is this.
Yeah.
So basically, there's, in the demo, there's six jobs? I think it's eight. And in the main game, there's 24. You can switch any of your party members to any of the jobs on the fly. Or not on the fly, but, you know, outside of battle, you can switch them however you want. There's, you know, your standard black mage, white mage, red mage, ninja, Valkyrie. I forgot what knight, I think, is the heavy. Performer, which the outfit is amazing. The male outfit pretty much looks like a bad Elvis impersonator. and the female one, I don't remember what it looks like. It's basically a support one. And the way it works is when you switch to a job, you get a new set of gear that you're better with. You don't get it, but it changes what you're good with. There's like, you know, E through S rank in terms of how efficient you are with the gear. There's a whole bunch of skills. Like there's two skill sets you can pick. It's sort of like a Guild Wars 1 style class melding system, where obviously if you're a black mage, you have black magic. And then you can pick the skills from one of any of the other jobs. So you can pick the ninja skills, you can pick the white mage skills, you can pick the list of things. And then there are passives, which you can pick up to 4 points worth from any number of jobs. So you can pick like a white mage one, a ninja one, a knight one, whatever you have the amount of points for, because some of them are worth one, some of them are worth two. And the way it works is as you level up jobs, you unlock more skills. So if you level up white mage, you gain like a higher level heal. You gain a res, you gain all these cures. And then say you switch back to black mage and you pick the white mage stuff, you now have access to all of them. I know it sounds really complicated, but it makes sense.
Okay.
So you can create these really weird hybrid builds where, like, if you're going to mainline someone as a ninja, it'll be worth it to level up a red mage because there's a red mage skill that gives you bonuses when you evade, which is what ninjas are good at. So you can sort of see how leveling up multiple jobs on one character is worth it. Cashy, do I have the demo open? I can give you an example. No, I don't. I lied. I'm trying to think.
Is this a demo that's out already? Not the demo is out already, but is the game out already?
Game has been out in Europe since December and Japan since like a year ago. I don't know why it's not coming out in the U.S. until next month, because if it's out in Europe, obviously all the translation work was done.
Well, it's probably done for, like, Japanese side, or for English, but that's like, you know, Oi Governor and all that.
That's fine. Leave it in. We were joking on Mumble that it takes 2 months to edit out all the extra U's.
if the game actually has someone going, Oi Governor, I think that'd be awesome for a JRPG to have that. Just kind of like, that's not canon.
It is, well, I mean, Drippy from whatever that came from.
Ni no Kuni?
Yeah, Ni no Kuni.
Was he Scottish?
I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe Scottish Welsh. I think I'm going to go with Welsh because I don't want all the Scottish listeners to just rage at us.
Yes, all
well,
of
it could,
them.
Well, it could be Cockney and then have like a really broken.
Yeah, basically it's a super complicated job system that has a ton of depth and you can combine skills from like a million different classes to create crazy things.
Very cool.
Like you mainline performer on one dude to get the thing that your attack increases every single turn until a certain limit, obviously. And then once that thing's maxed out, you switch back to something else that does more damage, but you still gain that passive buff. It's pretty crazy.
You'll forgive me for asking this, but how is the performer different from, say, a bard?
It's really not.
Okay, like it's more dancing instead of singing?
Or it's not that different? It's songs.
Okay.
I think it's just sort of a bard with flair.
So, okay.
Yeah. A fabulous bard, if you will.
Fabulous.
Yep. So, like, this all works into, or a lot of these things work into the brave and a default system, hence the name.
Mm-hmm.
The way it works is it's turn-based, but you can stack turns, meaning that if you default, you gain an extra BP or brave point, but you don't do anything that turn. And the next turn, you can do two moves in one turn. So it becomes Ooh. This risk-reward system.
I like that.
You can go up to, I think, negative. You start out at zero, and when you do an action, it takes you to negative one. I don't know why you don't start at one and it takes you to zero. That's just a weird quirk that doesn't really make much sense, but whatever. Doesn't change anything, really. So what you can do is if, okay, I know I can burn this guy down in this turn, I'm going to brave three times, go down to negative three or negative four, which is the lowest you can hit, and try and kill him in this turn. And if you do, great, because it resets every battle. But if you don't, you can't do anything for the next four turns, three turns. So you're kind of just sitting there. So yeah, it creates this big risk-reward system. And the same thing where you can have one dude default if you know, like the way I usually worked it is I had my mages, say I was fighting a boss, right, and I didn't know what it was strong against or weak against. I would have my big physical attacker just attack. I would have my ninja scan it, and then I would have my two mages default until I saw what it was weak against. So that way, once I saw what it was weak against, I could brave and say it was weak against fire, get two fire spells in one turn, instead of having, you know, a really weak physical attack the first turn, then a fire attack the next turn. It's a really smart system.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like, you know, when you're playing these sorts of things, like people need to scout and get information when the other ones are just preparing, rather than like it feels wasted just using those shots.
It makes wasting turns less of a big deal.
Yeah, it makes it more of a strategy thing. Like there's value in wasting time.
I guess. And the reason I mentioned the ninja and the red mage is because the red mage bonus is whenever you can get a bonus that whenever you evade an attack, you gain one brave point. So what you can do is you can have anyone with that and then give anyone the ninja abilities as like their secondary, one of which is you use a turn, obviously, but you sort of go into like a defensive mode where then it lasts for like forever until you're targeted with a physical attack and then you evade it and it goes away. But you can just sort of throw that on at the beginning of a fight and then just sort of have it there. And whenever you evade, you suddenly get an extra turn out of it.
Nice.
So it's a really, really, really deep system that I am sort of scared about the fact that there are going to be 24 jobs.
I'm feeling
like, oh God, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do with any of these characters. You can only have four people in a party, at least in the demo. I assume that's the limit because that's a pretty standard JRPG limit, three or four. Yeah, okay. That demo is out now, I guess, on all territories. And it's a demo, so you have nothing to lose in terms of trying it out.
I still want to get a 3DS.
You should get a 3DS.
I want to so bad, but it's like, okay, I'm going to get a great system and now I got to buy the games for it. Like, I would love it if you could pay, let's say, $500 for the 3DS. Wait, hear me out. And you get like 15 games free or something that you can download.
But there's so many good games on that system.
There is.
Like Pokemon's on that. Bravely Default's going to be out. Fire Emblem's great. Animal Crossing is great. Also,
Bravely Default, I mean, when you were talking about the mechanics, it's really, really enticing. I looked at some screenshots while you're talking about it, and it looks really good.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
I mean, I was pretty impressed.
The 3D is pretty great. It has one of the most amazing JRPG features of all time, which is a slider for random encounters, meaning that it starts out at 0%, plus minus 0%, and you can turn it up to plus 100% if you just want to grind job points, or if you just want to walk to a boss, you can turn them off, which is just a godsend.
That's pretty awesome.
because you can walk across the map without worrying about random encounters. What else? There's something else. There's like the Street Pass hook for that game is a little town where there are item shops. And when you Street Pass with people, you get workers for the town. And those workers build the buildings in town. And it's all time gated. But obviously, the more people you have working on like a building, the quicker it will build. And you can use that to unlock higher level armor and weapons and stuff like that. So that's kind of neat. Yeah, that's basically Bravely Default. It's like a 7-hour demo, and the game, according to how long to beat, I want to say is like in the 60s in terms of how long it is, which is a really long game, especially on a handheld. Yeah, you should all try it. Thurb, do you have a 3DS?
No, I do not, sadly.
Why not?
Does those cost money?
So does Spelunky.
Wait, let me rephrase it.
It costs like $10.
If the 3DS was... If the 3DS was free, and I got 15 free games, now that's a winning, that's a winning combination.
I mean, you can get, like, XLs are routinely going on sale for $150.
Yeah, I guess, for me, I guess I wanted the limited edition Zelda one that came out, and I was like,
they had that on sale for one.
I know.
You could get that for, like, $130 at Target recently. Yeah. Because they did their one day... Oh God, we're so sorry. We lost all your credit card information sale.
Yep.
So they had them on sale that weekend, plus that bonus. You should have done it, man.
It's Christmas. I had no money. I had no money to spend around that.
You just get the black one, like I have. All black, like my soul.
You know, I'm just gonna go grab my Game Boy Micro out of the drawer that I have and just enjoy playing Castlevania on it. Okay.
Spudo, you need to get a 3DS before PAX. Think of the street passing.
Oh, God.
Think of all the puzzle pieces.
Oh, God, not that rabbit.
No, I haven't bought those games. But think of the puzzle pieces.
Okay.
There, you have to get one before PAX as well, even if you're not going.
Okay.
Whatever convention, if you go to PAX Prime or, like, Emerald City Comic Con, I'm sure people have 3DSs there.
So there's – I have a 3DS. Okay, here. This is how stupid it is. I have a pink 3DS in the other room over here. It's in pieces. Because my girlfriend's kid had it, and the on-off switch broke. So I ordered a new on-off switch, and all I have to do is solder it on there, and then it's not an XL, but it's a 3DS.
It's also pink.
It is, but it's a 3DS.
But original, like regular 3DSs, feel super cheap. I guess they are super cheap, seeing as the on-off switch broke.
Yeah.
And, you should get an XL. XLs are great. Speaking of the Nintendo 3DS, what's the full name? Entertainment System? Computer Entertainment? I know Sony does the Computer Entertainment System.
It's a Nintendo Entertainment System.
Is it? I have to look this up. Anyway.
Well, that's the NES.
That's the NES part.
Yes, that is the, speaking of the Nintendo 3DS handheld gaming entertainment system.
Yes.
I have been playing The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds on my Nintendo 3DS handheld gaming entertainment system.
Yeah.
That game's really good, you guys.
GameSpot, I believe, said that was their game of the year.
I didn't buy it until New Year's Eve, and I didn't play it until like 2 days later because I was at a friend's house having a few, let's say, adult beverages. That game, if I had bought it earlier in the year and played it earlier in the year, would probably have been pretty high up on my top 10. Maybe not number one, but probably top five. Maybe like five or six. Bump The Last of Us down just to spite it.
Okay.
I'm not super far. I'm at the point where the game just sort of, I guess, opened up. Because the way that game's structured is instead of doing... You know, the ice dungeon, then the fire dungeon, then the whatever. You do three really short dungeons at the beginning to get the things that you need to go get the Master Sword. Then you get the Master Sword, and then the game, like, sort of goes to hell in terms of the story. Like, everything goes bad. And then you have, like, eight dungeons that you need to do, and you can do them in any order. So that's the part where I'm at. I'm starting those eight dungeons.
Now, was the original Link... What was the game based off of? Link Between Worlds,
Link to the Past?
A Link to the Past,
yeah.
Okay. Did that have the similar setup of, like, three and then... Because this sounds a lot like Ocarina of Time.
No, so the original, you basically had to go you are woken up out of bed by your uncle, I think it was, and you go try to save the princess. And then in doing so, you don't save her, and the entire world goes from a light to a dark side, essentially at that point, if I remember correctly.
I know, and you have to like sneak into the castle and say, there's a secret passage, and then you go through like the sewers and all that. That's the only part I've played of Link to the Past.
Yeah, I absolutely love A Link to the Past, and I have very fond memories of that game, so I'm really wanting to play the new one. And there's a lot of things.
Apparently the dungeon that I'm doing, which I'm doing the Swamp Palace first, just because it's the first one I stumbled upon.
That was way far in the original game.
I'll say that's the hookshot dungeon.
Yeah.
Apparently that dungeon in particular takes a lot of cues from the Link to the Past version. Like the boss fight is nearly identical, where you need to pull things off and pull the little things off the big thing. I don't know. That's what I was told.
Yep.
But that's where I'm at now. So apparently that would be a good nostalgia trip for you.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Well, my reference was just more to, like Ocarina of Time's design was, as Kid Link, three mini missions, and then you were cast into the dark world of Adult Link. But that was definitely more a linear story from there. So it's cool that they've gone open ended. But Shin Boy, how can they go open ended but still have the you collect each item in each dungeon?
Well, there is a shop where you can just straight buy the items for each dungeon.
That's what chaps my ass a little bit.
It's kind of great. Because it gives you so much more freedom. You can just do the stuff in whatever order.
But for me, the progression was always like, you got to do this dungeon, and you want to get that item out of the dungeon. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm sure it's awesome, but for me, it's kind of breaking my my ideal of what a Zelda game is.
The items are kind of expensive. So my experience so far has been, you can rent all these things if you want to, because it's way cheaper to rent them, but if you die, you lose them. And you have to rent them again, or you can buy them. But unless you're just like straight grinding, which who grinds in a Zelda game, you can really only afford one of them at a time. So you basically just pick one, then go do that dungeon, and then you get enough money to buy another one. So it is, in a way, kind of structured similar, just more open about it.
Yeah, see, I feel like this leads to the point where they're going to have a Zelda where it's like a prototype where your arm just changes into the weapon, and then later down the line, I don't know.
Unified like meter, I guess you could call it, for all the weapons or all the gadgets.
Okay.
Which is shared with your ability to morph into a wall. So you can't just sort of use the hookshot over and over and then sneak into a wall because you'll run out of meter.
Okay, well, that's kind of cool.
It's kind of neat. And Matt, some of those things are like some of the sort of, I guess, wall puzzles or secret areas you can only get to are really hard to figure out. It's not really in any of the dungeons that I've seen, but a lot of the side collectible stuff is pretty tough to figure out. It's nice. Enjoy that. It's one of those, how the hell do I get up there type deals.
Sweet.
I don't know if you can use... I'm theory crafting in my head, thinking about things. But yeah, that game's really good. The 3D in that game is probably the best on the 3DS. I know people bitch about 3D... But if you're playing that game with the 3D off, you are doing yourself a great disservice. Don't play it on a 2DS. Basically what I'm saying. Especially since it factors into the level design. Like, you know how in old Zelda games, sort of like a lot of the dungeons, like the floors are big and sprawling?
Yes.
In this, they're really small, at least comparatively speaking. There's maybe only like three or four, like one big room and three or four small rooms. But the last dungeon I did before I sort of moved on in the story was like 13 floors. They throw a lot of verticality in it.
So it really doesn't have that, you walk off to the edge of the screen and then it loads the next
block. It has that still.
It does have that, okay.
In the overworld and in the dungeon rooms. But there'll be a lot of like the puzzle here is not how to figure out how to open the next door on this floor. It's how to get to the next floor.
Okay.
It's not just, always a set of stairs. It's, I had to figure out how to get into this room to remove the thing above this jump pad, then activate the jump pad to launch me up to the next floor. Stuff like that. Or like, this this moving wall that is moving up and down. I need to morph into it and then like go around to the other side and pop back out on the next floor, stuff like that. It's pretty great. The level design in that game, in the dungeons that I've been in, has been top notch all around. Pretty much describes everything in that game.
No doubt.
You get a 3DS?
I do. Yes.
Apparently a lot of the music is callbacks to Link to the Past, like a lot of the dungeon music, as well as the Low Rule overworld music, which, having not really played a lot of that game, I can't say either way, except that it's good music. Yeah.
Sweet.
And then there's something else that Squiddle, we've both been playing.
This is the meat of it. Like, it don't get me wrong, the Link to the Past is definitely really cool to hear about how it's still relevant, and I can't wait for hearing what the Wii U version is going to be. But this next game, I'm guessing, is the one I'm really curious about.
Yes. Came out today. Yep. Is this what you're thinking of there?
Well, I mean, it's out for some today.
It's out for some, for the exclusive few.
Who are chicken shit enough to back a Kickstarter?
Yeah. Broken Age is out today. Well,
yes!
The first part for the backers. Goddamn right. Well, how long have you been how much did you play?
I guess it's not really spoilers. It's only like the first 15 minutes of the game.
It's not a spoiler to say you played 15 minutes of a game.
Yeah, no, but like I got to the air, to the opening of the air vent.
Okay, I know exactly.
As one of the two playable characters in the game.
I guess before we go too deep into like talking about it, just because I know there's some people out there who haven't heard what like Banner Saga is, which is another game that came out today. What is like a brief synopsis of Broken Age?
Like in terms of what it is? Because it is a Kickstarter-backed, old-school, point-and-click adventure game from Tim Schafer and Double Fine.
Okay, Tim Schafer, I guess to some known for being really good at making adventure games.
Yeah, if you're like into a lot of the old school LucasArts era, like Dead Tentacle, Monkey Island era adventure games, he's the dude responsible for a lot of those games, at least partially.
Yeah,
and so he decided to make a new one.
Him saying, "Hey, I want to make this new one. I'm going to use Kickstarter to do it." Had a lot of people really interested in it, and now we're seeing the first part of it after a couple, like a year or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to say part of me today was thinking that they initially said it was going to be out late last year, but then it didn't. So now it's out today. But I could be wrong.
The big controversy was that he got all this money for the Kickstarter and said, "We're going to make this awesome game." And then I think almost 10 months into the development of it, they said, "Hey, we're not going to have enough." I don't know if it was resources or time. I think it was money, resources, essentially.
Yeah.
We need more. So we're going to split it into two and create like chapter one and chapter two, or however you want to put it, to help fund to get the second portion completed, which I'm all fine with. If a game is stellar in chapter one, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, like it's not going to cost the backers anything extra. So right.
I think the way he said, like the way the Kickstarter originally like portrayed it was, is they only expected like to get 900,000 or something, maybe 90,000.
Yeah, they were asking for 900,000, I believe.
And so, like a very small amount, and they ended up getting like multiple millions.
Or no, they were never on. They were asking for way under 900,000. Now that I think about it, I said think so. Oh no, never mind. Not important.
Basically, it's the they realized that there were a lot more people interested in this, and so they could make a much better product. But invariably, that also takes a much longer amount of time.
They were asking for 400,000. That's what it was.
Okay.
So it was 300 to make the game and 100 to film the documentary, which I actually really haven't watched any of. I probably should.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of it. So I didn't want to know any of the story until.
There's no spoilers in the documentary.
Okay.
There will be, when they start doing the making of stuff for part two, there will be part one spoilers in it.
Okay.
But other than that, there won't be any like part two stuff anyway.
And also, I just want to clarify, it's not just for Kickstarters. If you buy the game, you will get part two as well. It's not going to be like a DLC add-on you got to pay money for. So Kickstarters and people who pre-order right now or even purchase it then, we'll, when it comes live, we'll also get the,
because it goes live for non-backers, I want to say, in 2 weeks. So the 28th. I think.
Sweet. So how's it been?
That game is gorgeous.
It's weird. It's strange. It's different. I wasn't expecting what I saw in a good way.
It looks like an animated film in a good way.
Yes.
Yeah. Like the one of the greatest things is like people say it looks like a painterly or some sort of just amazing effect.
Yeah. Like I was playing it before, and my mom walked upstairs and looked in my door and she's like, "What are you watching?" Which I thought was kind of funny.
It feels like video games have gone somewhere. If that's the question that was asked.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just that, and so far where I'm at in the story, it's just, I was confused on what to do. So I ended up, I guess, doing the wrong things. When you play it, you'll figure it out, because I didn't realize it's not QTEs. It's more like you have to click on things to actually complete things. I didn't realize that.
So I
was at the point where I was just watching it like it was a movie and figuring that it would just progress on its own magically, because I was waiting for some kind of visual extreme cue and there wasn't.
Was it with the train part?
It was with the, well, the first time I encountered it was on the outside of the ship.
Okay.
And then I realized, okay, that went odd. And now I'm repeating myself. So then I picked a different one and realized, oh, I have to click on things, which I didn't realize.
And so
now I know I have to click on things, and it kind of opened up a whole new mechanic for me. And I kind of liked that it doesn't give you, here's your commands and here's what you need to do. It's just kind of like, oh, you failed. Now you got to learn from it. And that's how
I know
it.
In a few moments, like there would be something over the PA or whatever. It was like, hey, you should do, maybe you should try this. That happened once or twice. I was just like messing around with things, poking at things to see what they would do. That happened a few times. But
yeah,
whatever.
And I was generally surprised at how long the characters talking just without me interacting went on. I was like, really?
Nope.
There's
a lot of dialogue in the game.
Yeah. It is pretty fantastic on that.
There's a lot of Elijah Wood.
Does he do a good job? Because he seems like he'd be decent at doing a.
He does an okay job so far. I mean, again, I've only played maybe a half hour or so.
Oh, those
voice
hobbits,
acting seems
those
pretty
hobbitses,
solid.
They know how to act.
Sneaky hobbitses. Yeah, I think we both started on the same side. We both started with Shay. The guy.
I guess that means
we're misogynists. I don't know. I think that's what the internet tells me.
Yeah, I guess so. But I didn't. I was looking. I'm like, can I click both? And I was like, huh. And I thought, hey, I'm a dude. I'm going to start with the dude. So I guess if that makes me what I am, that's why I chose it. So
I sort of picked that one because I think sci-fi is more interesting than whatever was going on the other side. So
the foresty.
Yeah, apparently that side has some really great art, which I'm sure you will have to play both parts to complete it.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I assume they intertwine at some point. I think that's like the whole premise. Without really spoiling anything, all I can say is that if you like old school point-and-click adventure games, this is at least seems like a really good one with some great art, pretty good writing, pretty good characters, and solid voice acting. So it's pretty funny.
The last point and click I ever played was Journeyman Project Series, Buried in Time. You know,
I have no idea what
Project
that is.
Servo, which were QuickTime point and clicks.
Oh, no,
back in the day. So
that sounds terrible.
Running Windows 95, and they were fantastic for the time period. So I was not ready for a point and click, even though I guess I should have known because I backed it. It was a point and click. I just jumped on the bandwagon for the hype, to be honest. And I was expecting a good game. And I got a good game so far. So I'm happy.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm happy too. Again, we'll see where it goes. But thumbs up so far. So, Squiddle, since we've both been playing that, what else have you been playing?
Let's see. I decided to purchase the Unreal Tournament Pack.
Okay. The 3DS?
Not, instead of the 3DS. Not that I'm...
Equally expensive?
Well, no. It's only $40. Come on now. But the only reason I got it is I was going through a bunch of my old junk, and I had Unreal Tournament 2003 disc set, and I had an Unreal The Awakening disc, and I put it in, and I tried to activate the codes, and they didn't work on Steam. And so I was like, okay, well, that's kind of a bummer. Because this weekend I'm going to FadeCon, and one of the games they say you have to have installed is all the Unreal Tournament games, because that's a block of what they're going to be playing. So I was like, that kind of sucks. And so I ended up purchasing the pack, which is not sucking for purchasing the pack, but sucking that I had to purchase the pack because the keys didn't work on the original boxes. But yeah.
You just tried punching them into Steam? Of course they wouldn't work.
Well, why not? Didn't they say that you could take your original keys, like on Half-Life and all that, and put them in and they should work?
Those are Valve games.
Well, come on. Valve should be able to do that. They're massively...
These games are not on Steam.
They are. They are on Steam.
You're sure the only one that... Are they?
Yeah. Yeah, Unreal The Awakening.
The Unreal Deal? Oh.
It's on... Yeah, and that's why I was like, well, they should work. They must have the library of all the keys.
Oh, they have 2K4. You don't need any other game.
Yeah.
It's the best Unreal tournament.
That is true, so... But yeah, I purchased those. And last week, I was gifted a copy of Spelunky by none other than your fabulous... Mr.
Goddamn right.
It was me.
And I played a little bit of the game, and I found out that it's so much better with the Xbox 360 controller, and mine doesn't work. So I've been trying to play with the keyboard and really digging it and enjoying actually playing it the little here and there I've been able to. And I really have this inkling to just play more of that game. And, like, it's sucking me in that I'm not playing it. I just want to play more. And I don't know why.
You should invest in a DualShock 4.
Will it work with that game?
Works with any game.
Okay.
I mean, if it doesn't work natively, there's a simple, like, third-party program that you run once and it just emulates it whenever you plug it in.
Okay.
It's a 360 pad.
Let me do that then.
I've been using a DualShock 4 to play Final Fantasy VI. So, playing a Super Nintendo game with a PS4 controller on a PC.
I didn't know Final Fantasy VI just came out.
It did.
Oh, okay, cool.
A new release from, 1994.
Yeah, there you go.
20 years ago.
It's a Back to the Future. And speaking of emulation, ooh. I had forgotten until you had spoken about it, but I do have two games on my new Nexus 5 Android phone. And one of them is Soul Blazer that I've been playing, which is...
What is that?
One of my favorite games from back in the day on the Super NES. It's an RPG that's just weird. It's flat out weird. And
what,
I don't
is
remember...
Is it like a Western RPG? Is it like JRPG?
I have to actually pull up the wiki on it because I don't remember. I don't know how to classify it when you say...
I mean, like, is it like... My point is it like more Japanesey or is it like Western fantasy?
I haven't played enough Japanesey ones, or Japanesey. Wow, that's probably racist in some context. I haven't played enough of the JRPGs to know how to classify the difference between JRPGs and Westerns. So maybe it's a Western because I have not played. I played it on the Super NES, so I don't know if they ever released a true JRPG on the Super NES. I guess Final Fantasy would be considered that?
Well, yeah, like Final Fantasy, Chrono Trigger...
Okay, so yeah, it is Chrono Trigger-ish graphics, but it's not turn-based.
Okay, is it more like action? Like
yes.
Like Secret of Mana is like that. I don't like Secret of Mana.
Okay, yeah, and the other game, which is kind of like, is Illusion of Gaia, as the Europeans, it's called the Records of the Illusion of Gaia. A lot of ups in there, more than needs to be. And so both those games, I absolutely love playing. And I was like, I forgot all about these and just had this geek out nostalgia and I started playing them again. And I forgot, and spoilers for people, I'm sorry if you haven't played this game.
Really? You're worried about spoilers for a game that came out in the
90s? I'm sorry. I have to, yeah. Well, I forgot how tear-jerking Illusion of Gaia was because I was reading through the wiki and I had forgotten that this game was probably one of the first that really made me feel heartbroken in the end. because everybody survived, which is happy, right? But nobody remembered what they did through the entire thing. So I felt all of my efforts in the game and the hours I spent in it were for naught because none of the characters remembered what they were. They all went back to school and they were all happy.
Like, even if they don't remember, it was what they did important?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're so his friends in the schoolhouse that he hung out with went on this grand adventure. Think of doing Lord of the Rings and you went on this huge adventure and you got back and you were just farming again. You didn't know anything happened. You forgot everything that happened to you. You're just a nobody again. Huh. And I was just like, are you serious? Nobody remembers but me. And then I had this like, I am the only one who remembers. I must retell the story. I remember having that moment. And so I'm having a lot of fun replaying that game.
Apparently Quintet, the developer, is Japanese. So there's probably a lot of Japanese RPG tenants in there in terms of story and stuff.
Sure. But it was weird because I was reading through it. And I didn't realize that they said that you actually start out going to a Christian school.
Hmm.
And so I thought, okay, well, if it's Japanese, they wouldn't have a Christian school. It'd be more of a Buddhist school.
I'm not familiar with the religious inclination of the Japanese culture.
Okay. But yeah, really, really great game. And it plays really well on the phone. So I'm excited.
So how does that work without like how well does it work? I guess I should ask without a proper D-pad, without like a
digital D-pad. It's, well, because you do have to kind of like run around. It's not too great, but I am looking at investing into a Bluetooth controller they can hook up with it.
Yeah.
Attached to it. And so, but it doesn't work bad, to be honest, because you really can't move diagonally. You just like up, down, left, right. So there's no like, I got to move diagonal.
Is that one of those weird things where you can't buy off of the Play Store? You have to buy it from Square's weird Android market?
Well, not mine. I actually just got it from a site.
Downloaded an APK somewhere?
Yeah, pretty much. No, not an APK. I just downloaded whatever the .ROM file and loaded it into my emulator so that I could play it.
So you're just playing it on a Android
emulator. Right, okay. Yeah. It's not an actual like download
of it. Because I know Square has released a lot of their older games on Android.
Yeah, and the day I ever decide to pay $17 for a 15-year-old game, somebody come and shoot me, please.
To be fair, a lot of them have been reworked in 3D and don't look very good, but they still did work. So,
But yeah, that's really all I've been playing. Nothing too much. I'll have more to report on after this weekend. And all back right. To you, Thurbleton.
Well done.
I've been playing Spelunky.
Boring.
Actually, I ended up being Spelunky.
How much have you spelunked?
I have spelunked as a total now of... let me get the official listing. 118 hours played.
That's a lot of spelunky. That's probably too much.
Possibly too much spelunky. Derek, you might disagree.
That's an addiction. That is
I just... I don't understand. That's one game where I just don't understand.
Okay, it's a game that... Once you get past like the like I hate everything, I hate spikes, I hate tiki traps, this game is stupid, and you start to get like a little bit of skill when it's like you know to be patient, you know to check your corners, you know to like, you know, do all these things. You get a kick out of all the dumb stuff in this game.
Yeah, but like 118 hours worth of a kick?
I've also been like I picked it up for like what, 2-3 months ago?
Still. It's a lot of time. I don't have that much time in Skyrim.
I don't know if this might, like, I need to add up all the different hours I spent for a Spelunky daily run, but that's also been a really cool thing. It's just every day, like, just doing a run that is, like, with just hopping in the game for, like, 5-10 minutes, I can play around, I can do something dumb, but the daily run is when you put in your game face and you try and do the best possible point value you can get, or, like, try and do something awesome.
But even if you only do that for like, say, a half hour a day, that's still not 100.
Oh no,
hours.
I mean like when I beat Yama, that was 55 minutes. That was one run.
Still, even an hour a day is still only 90 hours over 3 months. I get the appeal of that game. I guess if I were to play it, I'd be sort of like, I think it was Alex, who's just like, he appreciates it, but like never bothered finishing it.
What about it appeals to you? Or what do you, not appeals to you, but what do you think appeals?
The sort of nature of people to go, man, I did okay that run. I think I can do better this run. And then they just, that sort of repeats over and over.
For me, it's okay. For example, a couple of days ago, like before I finally beat King Yama, there was a run where I had, first off, it's the silliness of modding the game where I'm playing as a pug, as in a dog, with a jetpack with a shotgun. And So there's that. That's hilarious.
I have another question.
Okay.
I just forgot my question. Continue.
All right. Well, okay. So I've progressed after a few, like, you know, missteps and all that. I've made it to the ice world to, like, you know, world 3.
Hmm.
And there's a creature in the ice worlds that's like effectively just this giant mammoth, woolly mammoth that shoots a ice ray that freezes you. And when you're frozen, you can't move. If anything touches you, you shatter to a million pieces and you die instantly, no matter how much health you have.
That
kind of sucks.
Yeah, well, it does kind of suck. So, you know, to be wary of them. And usually, like, up until that run, every time I got encased in ice, I would die late, like, instantly. I got encased in ice twice and miraculously lived. And it doesn't matter that I died later in the temple. It's that, like, I'm encased in ice and there's a landmine being set off by a Yeti right next to me. And if the landmine doesn't kill the Yeti's going to kill me? Or the landmine might kill me. I'm just like, it's this tense moment. And that,
is it like a game of moments?
It's a game of moments, like a moment, yes.
Instead of, like, I guess one way to phrase it would be like, instead of one sort of long, intense experience, it's like a string of shorter but more intense moments.
This is
they're spaced close enough together to keep you interested, but far enough apart with to not be overwhelming, I guess.
Yeah, I guess maybe like what people like to describe about DayZ, or just like mm-hmm. that, it can get kind of boring. But the nice thing about it is, whereas a run in DayZ will last, like, you know, 8 days or something, where you collect all this stuff, a Spelunky run is, like, what, 5 minutes, an hour at the most?
That's why I think a lot of people, including myself, enjoy things like Super Meat Boy, where, sure, you die a lot, but the runs are super quick, and you respawn super quick, so it's not as big a deal. You can just sort of get right back on the horse and go again.
Yeah, it's, I think with Super Meat Boy, having played that, it's definitely more objective based. Like, there's a set pattern of stuff you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Spelunky, it's you learn mini patterns within the grand scheme, but the grand scheme is always changing. So, you know, like, you always want to look down, you know, the physics of the rocks, you know, how the enemies will behave, even though they change each time. And then since I've finally progressed so far as to beat not only the normal boss, but recently beat Yama, the secret boss of hell, now I'm just doing dumb stuff. Like, I've gone to one of the hidden worlds, that is the castle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll kill the Black Knight and I'll get a shield, which will just block anything that can get in its way, including money, and push it out. And so if I could run against a wall and push money, I lose that money.
Oh.
Like the money goes in the wall?
The money disappears. I've incinerated. I've, like, made it non-existent by pushing it into a wall. And that's an item that you can get that is terrible for you. And yet, it's so overpowered it's bad for you. Just like the plasma rifle from the spaceship. It's like
sounds like a game that likes to troll you in super creative ways.
Yes. There's so many mini stories I could roll off, but I'm sure the listeners would start to hate me for it, and as well as you guys. But
not just the listeners.
Yeah, I've beaten that, and so my viewpoint on playing will probably be different. I think I'll still keep playing it, but it'll be a much more casual basis.
I have a question. I remember watching one of these Spelunking with Scoops, and he talked about somebody that mentioned a a certain type of man-made run, like an egghead run or eggplant run or something. I don't know what they call
it. Okay, yeah. The pent-ultimate of things you can do in Spelunky that are completely pointless and trollish is you get an egg, you have to get an eggplant, which you can only get by having a map that has a shop with a mystery box and an altar, to which you sacrifice the mystery box on the altar and you get an eggplant. If you throw the eggplant, it will splatter. If a bad guy hits you while you're holding the eggplant, it will splatter. The eggplant does no damage, has no benefit. The only thing you can do is if you take it all the way to hell, to the final boss of Yama, you can throw it at his face and he turns into an eggplant. And you can one-shot him. And
wow.
To many people, until this was like done recently, people thought it was impossible to do solo because there are times where you have to carry something else through the next level, or you have to die and you're cut off from something. And the way this guy pulled it off, needless to say, I won't go into too much depth, but he used literally every trick in the book and then some.
I just completely forgot that that game has co-op.
Yeah, it's local co-op, and it's definitely a lot more like frenemy sort of thing. It's like Super Mario Brothers, but even its death has some benefit as well.
Or that is sort of, you sort of like shocked me. I was like, oh god, I forgot the game is multiplayer.
Yeah, for the longest time, I just thought it was only co-op and multiplayer could do a eggplant run.
What else have you been playing?
What else have I been playing? I've been doing more of the XCOM Enemy Within stuff, except I think I kind of want to throw in the towel and say the enemy has won.
Are you playing it on like a harder mode or something? Or
I will put my cards on the table with this. I'm playing – it was a harder mode than what I originally done. Basically what the thing was, I wanted to do another playthrough of XCOM. I had the itch to give another shot, and this time I wanted to have my friends like you guys – as the players. And things were going more or less good. We have occasional issues like Cynic dying pretty much every mission he would be in.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Sometimes it wasn't even his fault. Other times he had like either I or Cynic would make the decision to make a stand and hold the line when we needed it most. Otherwise the mission would be scrubbed, and he paid the ultimate price for it, while also setting several enemies on fire before he died. But yeah, it's like Squiddle is doing awesome. Shroomboy, you got taken out in your prime and then came back and saved the day as another character. And
goddamn right.
Everything was like having a ton of fun with it. And upgrades were going good. Progression was going well. And then I got to the alien invasion. The alien invade your base. The base defense one.
Is that like a regular mission? I know nothing about this game.
Basically, it was something added with the expansion that was a throwback to the original game, in which you would have multiple bases and the bases could be attacked, and it was a whole different spin on the playstyle. Okay. My beef is basically in like the chaos of the aliens invading. Your troops are scattered across the entire complex, and so some of your, like, you play as a small fraction of your guys. You don't get to choose who you're playing as, and in fact, there's also rookies who you, like, they're just, you know, personnel of the XCOM station. They're so not
cannon fodder?
Yeah, well, yeah. So I had, like, I was in between laser to plasma upgrading. So anybody knows the game, that's like I'm almost to the final tier of upgrades. I have like a lot of good armor. I've actually made a lot of purchases because I'm expecting it. I'm expecting the invasion to happen because I've played this before. And I try to keep everyone outfitted. With that mission, the only people who are outfitted of your squad are the people who are on the last active mission. Everyone else,
oh, so you done goofed.
Everyone, no. Like I've prepared them. The game just doesn't recognize that I prepared them. It has them as their default gear.
Like game done goofed.
Yeah, the game done goofed. So when I have three mechs, two of which are upgraded, and three, like the standard weapon is the minigun, and then you get this like laser cannon instead, a railgun. I have three of those. And I only have two mech pilots right now. And the last time Durin, the Mecha Durin, was on a mission, he was fully pimped out. And then I see him suddenly using the Mark I mech and a minigun. I get kind of pissed off.
If you weren't so bad.
Maybe if I wasn't so bad. Basically, I've tried three times and everyone keeps dying.
Obviously, you need the strategy better.
Yeah.
Or you could just use hacks.
Yes.
Well, that's the other thing. I eventually got fed up and looked into like finding a dev mode to unlock it and beat the level. But then proceeded to be like, oh, what else can I do with this? And just pimped out everyone. And I know that if I keep playing...
You went too far.
I went too far. And it's iron mode, so I can't go back to a previous save. So basically, I'm just going to say the enemy has made me admit defeat.
If my character could just have holy hand grenades attached to him, and I pull a string and it pulls all of them out, and I can just jump into an area and blow everything up.
A grenade bandolier.
Yes, that would be awesome.
Huh. You could just do all that with your mind.
What?
Wait, way to spoil the fun.
Mind grenades.
Mind grenades.
Wait, mind I'm mining for grenades?
Yes, that's the new Spelunky add-on. It's in the mines. There's grenades that you need to dig out.
So you're in the Mayan temple mining for grenades?
Yeah.
Mines of Moria.
Mines of Moria. There you go. Okay.
Mayan mining. So those are pretty much the two games I've been playing. I've also done, like, you know, a little bit of Counter-Strike, Left 4 Dead 2.
Which Counter-Strike, out of curiosity?
Source?
I don't have an affinity, so I'm not going to jump down your throat for any of them.
Well, I've tried Global Offensive, but this is as old manish as this sound. I'm just more comfortable with Counter-Strike Source. And
Counter-Strike 1.6.
There's still servers of, like, you know, 60, 30 people, like max, you know, comfortable amounts to play games with.
I love that there's this weird community that still likes really old Counter-Strike, like even before 1.6.
Yeah.
Like I only play 1.4. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, it is a weird community. When I play with people, you know, of course, I think the biggest thing is, like, they don't like campers. I'm like, in any game that you're going to have a sniper sitting in a perch waiting to shoot at people.
Yeah, I mean,
don't give me shit if I want to be the one that sits in a perch and shoots people. Figure out a way to kill me. You can do it.
There's a difference between, like, sniping, like proper sniping, or just sitting in a corner with a shotgun. Like, the latter is kind of bullshit. But if you're just sniping, like, the point is to not be seen and to sort of stay hidden.
True.
I don't understand why people get mad at that in any multiplayer. Yeah. I'm with you, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, the point of a sniper is to sort of stay in one spot, one well-hidden spot, and kick people off. Like, that's what a sniper does, and only move if necessary.
I mean, I almost want to equate it to, like, playing two forts, and you say, okay, no sniper in the top area and no turrets down below.
Like, that's, two fort is the best map.
Yeah, and that's your strategy. That's what you do. And then you have people running the sewers to try to get by and to sap the turrets. And someone get up there and, you know, rocket jump or whatever to kill the snipers, you know, and that's the strategy. But people back in the Counter-Strike, you know, 1.6 and earlier days would be like, oh, you're using the sniper rifle. You shouldn't be using that. That's a cheater weapon. Like, no.
Goddamn right.
No offing.
Yes.
I mean, as weird as this is going to sound, I actually enjoyed, back when Counter-Strike Global Offensive wasn't a thing, it was fun to have, like, op versus scout fights as the guy with the scout. Like, it was fun taking down a guy with an op.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is old man talking.
About Counter-Strike.
Yeah, this is old man talking. The last thing is,
about Counter-Strike. Go ahead.
I want to talk about Banner Saga because I've purchased that game and can't wait to play it. I've just been
let's talk about Banner Saga.
That game looks really good. Both visually,
it looks really good.
It looks really good visually. I'm sure it's gonna. The Banner Saga faction plays good, so I can't wait to play it with a. With a campaign. I'm worried how the AI is gonna play.
But if the AI is gonna be kind of, like, bullshitty about things,
yeah. If the AI, if I mean, I guess campaign, a single player thing is only as good as the AI, right?
In those types of games, I guess, yeah.
The only thing I know is that they shared a room with Cards Against Humanity at PAX last year, and they were in there chilling. That's about all I know.
And that Austin Wintory does the music or did the music. So it's funny because I was talking to someone. I'm like, I don't know if I really want to drop $30 on it. And they're like, what do you mean? It's only $25. I'm like, oh, no, no, no. The non-soundtrack edition of that game does not exist. I don't think they understood. Like, I must own the soundtrack of that game if I'm going to own that game.
Speaking of soundtracks, just to kind of go off a tangent, I'm kind of bummed, and now that in the state that I am with music and what I'm doing, that I can't get a vinyl copy of now that's going to blow my entire story. What's the name of the Kickstarter we did? The guy who did the
Broken Age?
No, the guy who did the soundtrack.
It doesn't matter. You do realize that you're Jeremy Soule, the Northerner.
Yes, there you go.
You do realize it doesn't matter.
Yes, I know. Because
you're getting a digital 2496 rip anyway, which is vinyl quality. At least the quality of most vinyl rips.
Yes, I completely understand that. But for me, it the state I'm at right now, I would love to have a vinyl in my collection of that. The artwork alone, I think, would be awesome.
Who knows? Maybe they will. Was that one of the tiers? That might have been one of the tiers.
I looked. It was not. I looked and thought that I miss out on that, and it wasn't. I think the only other tier, like, go visit him while he's recording.
It sounds okay.
Yeah, it does, but I wasn't going to pay that amount of money for that.
Yeah. So. I want to get the Banner Saga. I just don't know if I am in any sort of financial position to drop that much on it, knowing that I'm going to be dropping more than that on Bravely Default on the 7th of February.
Don't worry about it. I mean, like, it'll go on sale again.
Yeah, like, I kind of want to play it, though. I want a good strategy game.
Steam sales, love them.
Well, like, the thing is, that won't be on sale for a while. One, because it just came out, and two, because we just finished the winter sale.
Summer sale.
Okay, summer sale is like
5 months?
6 months, though.
Okay.
5.5. It's usually around the end of June, beginning of July.
But by that time, I might have actually played another game to talk about, so.
You got to get on that. What are you doing?
Work.
You're working way too much?
Yeah.
Not important.
Yeah, exactly.
Who needs money when you could lose? Okay. Lose the job, right? Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm following
then,
you.
All the money that you had earned previously,
yeah,
use it to buy games and play them.
Okay.
It's a flawless plan. Foolproof. But
where's the profit? Oh, Steam cards. That's my profit, right? Steam cards. So I play the game and then flip them. Okay.
No. The profit is you play the games and then you get, like you said, Steam trading cards.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm following you.
Flawless plan. I have $1.78 on my Steam account right now because of trading cards.
I am not OCD, but I refuse to sell a card and have cents sitting in my Steam account. Absolutely refuse to do it.
I mean, you could sell things for like a dollar.
No.
I mean, you could try and like track down all the different Team Fortress hat barons and maybe be like their IT guy.
I could build a
website for them to do like, you know, hat e-trading on?
Speaking of building websites.
Yes.
I have I managed to get a Ubuntu web server running on my old laptop over winter break and installed WordPress to it.
That's cool.
Except I actually need to set up some sort of DNS to actually host the site or at least the dev for the site because I'm not paying someone to do that.
Hey, you could be really hipster and get a typewriter and hook it up so that whenever you type on that, it actually types on your WordPress.
What, running a Linux server is not hipster at all. That's what pretty much every server is.
No, I meant hooking up to a typewriter so that when you hit the keys, it actually sends the command.
But you said if I wanted to be really hipster, implying that I was
already trying hipster. To be hipster. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then bad wording on my part. Sorry. Four beers in, and I can't keep track of what I'm says. There you go.
Four golden monkeys in.
Four. Oh yeah. Oh. Oh. I want to talk about my weekend real quick. If that's
go ahead, cool, man.
Transition.
Go ahead. The floor is yours.
So last weekend, I had purchased a Lovesac recently,
A what?
And if nobody knows what a Lovesac is,
I don't.
It is a giant oversized beanbag chair that's using that has Durafoam in it. So there's no beans. It's just Durafoam.
Oh, these things are massive. Holy hell.
Yeah, and I actually put a link to you guys in the thing. You can take a look at my one that I have. And it was half off, so I figured, why the hell not? I got it, and I set it up in my vinyl room to listen to music. And my girlfriend came over, and I ended up drinking probably 14 Golden Monkeys in an evening, not even realizing, just listening to vinyl. And I was absolutely wasted by the end. We were watching Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and I was just dancing around while that was on. And it was probably the best weekend I've had in a very long time. It was a great time.
I want one of these things.
Yeah. They are flipping awesome.
They're expensive.
Yeah, they're half off right now.
I don't know where I would put it.
I had a hard time. That's why I made a room for it. I said, I took out everything. I took the bed out of that room. I took the chest of drawers out of that room. And it's just a giant beanbag.
I understand what they're going for with, like, it's like a sack version of like a love seat. But love sack, they could have worked on the name a bit.
Dude, it is awesome to walk around and say, hey, you want to come chill in my love sack?
Want to see my love sack?
Exactly. It's awesome.
Man.
But yeah, I got like a little ottoman for your feet, and it's got a little cup holder that you can like with magnets open up and put drinks in if you wanted to. It's absolutely worthless, but it's still cool to have it.
There's a Lovesac store in a mall in the next town over from me, apparently.
You should go check it out just to lay in one. They are awesome.
That mall has all the weird specialty stores. I might go there.
So that was my last weekend fun time, and it was pretty spectacular. So,
what albums, like what vinyls do you have in that vinyl room?
So right now I have Time One on vinyl.
Okay.
I have their first one, Winter Sun, on vinyl.
Okay.
And I have actually it's on a see-through vinyl, it's on a clear vinyl. So I haven't even opened it yet. I have a Moody Blue. So we went to the record store here in town. It's actually a record store that we have here. And I picked up a couple, some Jimmy Buffett albums. I picked up Little Feet, which is kind of like a jazzy kind of Zydeco type thing.
So is that that Penguin movie?
No, not.
I didn't know if it had like a really jazzy soundtrack. I don't know.
Liam Neeson's in that movie.
Is he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I had no idea. I purchased First Aid Kit. If you never listen to the First Aid Kit, it's not metal, which many of you listening will know that Shin and I both really appreciate and have an affinity towards metal music. But it is really good, like folk country, but not like, you know, twangy country. But it's these two Norwegian chicks that did it. It's beautiful sounding. And so I picked that up, and that was really awesome. And what else did I get?
No, it wasn't Liam Neeson I was thinking of. It was Hugh Jackman.
Leslie Nielsen?
No. Hugh Jackman's in that movie. That's what I was thinking.
And I went to storage with my parents and found an old vinyl that I had that I purchased back in the day, a techno vinyl. And I bought it. Did not have a record player at all, but I purchased it because I loved this song so much. I wanted to make sure that I had it on a medium that I would never lose. And so I purchased it on a vinyl. And I loaded it up for the first time, and I thought it was so awesome to hear that again.
So if I can make a suggestion,
yes.
If anyone has a vinyl collection, anyone who has a vinyl collection, you are pretty much required to have Queen's A Night at the Opera.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
I found one of the Queen albums that I want is Made in Heaven. And the problem is it was only made during that time. It's $120 right now.
Damn.
And I can't drop that kind of money on it. But that was – and the nostalgia behind that is that was the album that my dad bought in Europe when we went in 03, which has already been priorly released since then, and one of his favorite albums. So that was kind of like an ode to him. I really want to get that album at some point. So.
And then you should get the Doomstar Requiem double vinyl.
Already have it. It's on order. It will be here. It will be here whenever it ships. So I will have that. And
that art is intense.
I am torn because I don't want to open it, unseal it. I really would love to just keep it in the case, but I really want to hear it.
My dad, because we don't have anything to really play them, he has a whole bunch of old Springsteen vinyls that he just got framed.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, he has them hanging up.
Yeah. And I kind of wanted to just say, I'm going to do some, you know, garage sale things that they have and go to some half-price bookstores and pick up a couple things. But I picked up five albums for $11 that were really good albums. I mean, Styx, Pieces of Eight, the Moody Blues one, Jimmy Buffett's, that were in playable condition for $11. Absolutely shocked that I could get some of my favorite classic albums on vinyl for that cheap.
Speaking of Styx, I was in the car today. It was like mother-son night at the local Chili's. So I went there with my mom. And on the way back, started listening to the beginning of The Theory of Everything.
Yeah.
At the beginning, she was like, this sounds like Styx. And I laughed because it's true.
Yeah.
The beginning of that album does sound like a Styx album.
Oh, very much so. I mean, they were very big in the progressive movement,
especially with a lot of synth. And she was like, "Oh, sounds like Jethro Tull a bit," because that beginning of that album has like a bunch of synth and some flute, which is Styx and Jethro Tull.
Yep, I actually have some Jethro Tull CDs in my dad's that I'm going to try to find on vinyl. So I'm on a grand adventure, folks. So be prepared to hear more about vinyl.
Mm-hmm. What type of music do you enjoy? Because you never talk about music when we talk about music.
It's a pretty wide range. I find great music from everywhere.
That's bullshit. I hate when people say, what genre do you like? Or what genre is your favorite, let's say?
Music that I like, seriously, going through the list of recent purchases, LCD Sound Systems, All My Friends.
Okay.
Jaipal Jasmine, which you can hear on the Grand Theft Auto 5 soundtrack.
Okay.
Hadaway, What Is Love?
Okay.
Nice.
let's see. Stevie Wonder, Superstitions.
Okay, that's classic.
Okay. And then, like, you know, Electronic Superjoy, so V. Scrolling down. I have like the music from the stream pre for Giant Bomb.
Okay.
I pulled a bunch of
sounds like there's a lot of I don't hesitate to say dance music, but music you can sort of groove to.
Yeah, music I can groove to. I really like the Gunpoint soundtrack. Frank Sinatra, That's Life, Come Fly With
Classic.
Me.
Yeah, that's good.
A lot of soul stuff.
Okay.
Rare Earth, Earth, Wind and Fire.
Some Gladys Knight in there.
Yeah.
Still, even
Etta James is really good. Blue stuff. I don't like talking about it too much, and so why not talk about it on a podcast where hundreds of people listen? But when I was much younger, back in high school, I guess, you know, get super depressed sometime. It's like, oh, man, I just want to kill myself, all that stuff.
Hold on, let me stop you.
Okay.
I'm gonna do a little Sherlock Holmes detective work here.
All right.
Super depressed.
Yeah.
Going to take your approximate age, Pacific Northwest. You were big into grunge.
No.
God damn it.
I only moved to Portland like 2 years ago.
I don't know.
I was 25.
But when you move to Portland, you go directly back to the 90s.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Hey, I thought I was doing decent detective work.
No, it was actually like instead of being a goth metalhead, I instead found the blues.
Okay.
And that has stuck with me ever since.
I was going to guess grunge, but...
Yeah, I mean, like, grunge can be good. Weezer, I kind of thought they were okay and then quickly got over.
I was just, you know, like I said, using context clues to guess.
You just wanted anything you can pin me on for being a Portland hipster.
Yep. No. Grunge is not really hipster at all. Grunge got sort of really mainstream, especially with Nirvana.
But, I mean, like, just to round off the me music minute, I guess, like, you know, Darren Korb, Daft Punk, Adam Warlock?
Again, stuff you can groove to. Like, all good stuff.
Basically like nerdcore rap, though that I feel like that's a weird...
Nintendo core?
No, there it's like not even 8-bit rap music. I mean, like that's nice too. Everyone loves the Zelda rap, I guess. But yeah, like this guy named Adam Warlock has done like raps about Mass Effect, Futurama... Fucking all sorts of dumb stuff.
Okay.
One of my favorite songs of his is a really, really stupid, dumb, he admits it's stupid, rap about wizards in Paris making fun of Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
That sounds pretty awesome.
It's hilarious.
I know it's not your genre, but have you ever listened to Power Glove?
I've looked them up before.
They play like speed metal versions of video games and pop culture music.
Like I used to listen to like more heavier side of rock, but it's just the screaming is just too much for me most of the time.
Well, it's like a lot of it's instrumental because a lot of game music is instrumental.
Yeah.
But like for example, their most recent album, which came out in 2010. Entitled Saturday Morning Apocalypse, is a whole bunch of like TV show themes. Like there's a Batman theme, there's the Simpsons theme, there's Pokemon theme.
Combat for the Mortal Man?
Yep.
I like that.
And then, Metal Combat for the Mortal Man and Saturday Morning Apocalypse are their two full-length albums.
I'll have to look into them, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's more of a joke than anything else. But it's fun to just hear interpretations of things in weird genres.
I mean, hey, if it's a funny kind of joke, that works for me.
Yeah. Like, the Simpsons theme does the whole really slow, the Simpsons, then goes like a super fast drum beat. It's pretty funny. You should give them a listen.
All right. Yeah.
So the fact that they decided to name themselves after the Power Glove tells you how serious they are.
I was actually reading an article about the Power Glove today on The Verge, and I forgot how horrible that thing actually controlled. I had one, and I tried it, and I could never figure out how to accurately use it. It was just so cool to have it on. And I think I don't know if I talked
cool
about it on
the
here.
Word I would use.
I don't know if I ever talked about it on here, but I was so big into Nintendo and games when I was a little kid. I went outside onto our yard. We had a street that ran right in front of it, which I most do, I guess, with a house. Why am I going on this tangent? And I took my NES controller because I had nothing better to do at that time. That was expensive for a controller back then. I mean, it was. And I took it and I plugged it into the dirt into my front yard. And every time a car came by, I would hit the jump button in Mario and act like I was jumping over the cars. Or that I was I was acting out a Mario game with cars going by and people on bicycles going by.
Sounds like something, not to be offensive, it sounds like something someone with a mental disability would do.
No, I had ADHD. I was never focused on anything, but games always kept me focused and calm. So it was my out, essentially.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's a lot of people's outs.
Yep.
Very good one. Yeah. Anything else? Any other points?
I don't know. Do we want to talk about Guild Wars 2?
I would just mention for our listeners that are also Lincolncast listeners that today they announced the next update, Origins of Madness.
I'm going to say they teased the next update.
They announced it. That's about it.
Right. AKA Geppetto's Attack on Tyria.
Yeah. So basically they just put out a video. It's like a minute long. Other than that, we don't really have any other information outside of what's in the video and the sporadic article on like Eurogamer or Massively. So we'll probably be doing a regular podcast this weekend, like back at our normal recording time, because we were recording this on a Tuesday instead of on the weekends. So there'll hopefully be more information at a proper release page up by then. If not, we'll just discuss it anyway, because why not?
Yep.
Yeah, yes, you might want to put that at the beginning as well, just so people know, as a record. Yeah, that's Guild Wars 2 for this week, or this show.
Yes, thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Scotchcast, brought to you by Loosener Castor Oil Flakes, now with Rio Glycerin Vibraphone.
And all those really silly cereals from Broken Age.
Yeah, that too. Moon rocks, right?
Why do I feel like I should be saying, and thanks to our sponsor, Audible.com, where you can listen to light. I feel like I should be saying that. Yeah,
we still need to.
Because they're not actually paying us. So that's.
I'm going to email a rep from Blue seeing as we all use Yetis.
We have to. That would be awesome. Just, I think it would be awesome to riff, do a riff. I would love to do something like that. And not a riff in a bad way, but a riff in a good way.
So yeah, that maybe once we get a potential website up and running, teaser, teaser. I've been building a web server. What the fuck do you think I was going to do with it?
Oh, that's good.
I don't know.
Maybe then.
Farm Bitcoins?
Yes. Well, I'm going to need a web server for that. So interesting. Did you guys notice? I think this is amazing. That a lot of AMD cards. I'm going on a tangent here. I don't care. A lot of AMD cards, which are traditionally cheaper than NVIDIA cards, they don't perform quite as well in a lot of games, but that's besides the point. They're usually cheaper. Have spiked in price because people have noticed that certain ones are way better at mining digital currencies.
Yeah, they have better. They have really good throughput. And
apparently a lot of them are better at straight calculations while NVIDIA has the edge in terms of like graphical stuff, which is more important for games.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, a lot of the cards have gone up by like $100 or more in price.
Wow.
Just fascinating.
So I guess to end off the show, we'll go around. I guess if you want to say either Twitter or Twitch or whatever you guys want to plug, Shinboy.
You can follow us as a collective at the Lincoln Cast on Twitter. All of the shows, when they are posted, get auto posted there. I set it up so it's automatic. It usually there's like a delay. I think it updates on like either an hour or half hour interval, something like that. So you know when the shows are up, if you don't check your RSS feed or don't check the site manually or whatever.
Well, and actually, I think there was a hitch with RSS because I remember hearing a bunch of other like renowned podcasts were having issues. Like PC Gamer has done like 3 episodes so far that I haven't got, and my RSS won't acknowledge. I have to start manually downloading it.
Weird. So yeah, if you haven't been getting things, you subscribe to the RSS. We haven't gone away. I guess your RSS is broken, but if you're not downloading the show, I don't know how you're going to hear me saying this.
But if ever in the future we haven't said, like, that's all, folks. Yeah, feel free to do an investigation because we're
You know, when we inevitably end the show, you're going to have to stick that soundbite in.
Yeah, we'll use all the copyright things. What are they going to do?
Because what are they going to do? Sue us? It's like, you're going to have to cease and desist. All right, done.
It's like, all right, ceased and desisted.
And then if you want to follow me, I can be found at Matt_Leslie, Leslie, 3-5 on Twitter. I tweet about all kinds of stuff. If you're not into sports, I tweet about sports. I also tweet about hotels that I stay at that have bootleg ass N64 controllers in every room.
Yes. Oh, God.
That same hotel, although I forgot to take a picture of it, also had a Lord of the Rings pinball machine, which I didn't get a chance to play.
Oh, God. Sounds awesome.
So, yeah, you can follow me there. And my music plugs for this week. I have been listening to, I mentioned before, Queen's A Night at the Opera. I have been listening to Blind Guardian's A Night at the Opera, which is not a cover album by any means. It just sort of takes a lot of inspiration from that album, as in a lot of crazy vocal arrangements. And it also has And Then There Was Silence, which might be the single most ridiculous song ever created. So you should go listen to that. Yeah, that's my plugs.
Nice. Squiddle?
I'm going to plug my Twitter, of course, Mr. Squiddle, on Twitter, just talk about random stuff, crazy things, retweets and things. But this weekend, there'll probably be a lot more than that, going to FadeCon, where I'll be meeting some, devs of different companies that are going to be showing up. Master Pancake will be there to drink beers with us and have fun. If you don't know who they are, well, fuck you.
I know who they are. Those guys are awesome.
Yeah.
I actually don't know who they are.
Yeah,
Are you familiar with Mystery Science Theater 3000?
I am.
They're sort of like that.
Okay. On stage. While you watch it on a projected onto a screen.
Sounds fun.
And so yeah, I'll be tweeting my adventures in making my 4-hour trip to Dallas, not sleeping a wink, and then leaving at 2 in the morning on Sunday to get back home. So that'll be fun. Other than that, music plugs. Ooh, I'm going to have to go with Sticks Pieces of Eight. I have been listening to that since I bought it on vinyl this weekend, listening to it digitally and on vinyl. Absolutely love that album. It takes the references from Lord of the Rings, if you didn't figure it out when you listened to, I think, track number 8. If you haven't listened to it, then you'll understand what the hell I'm talking about. Other than that, Thurm, I pass the torch to you, sir.
Go on. Pieces of Eight, before you go through. Is that the album with Renegade on it?
No. I don't believe so. I don't think it is.
Hold on, let me pull this up on Wikipedia. Because Renegade's a great song. It is.
Oh, is the one Renegade? I can't
Renegade
remember.
Might be my favorite Sticks song.
Yeah, I guess so. It's not my favorite. Mine is probably Blue Collar Man. And I'm Okay are probably my favorite out of all of them. But Pieces of Eight, the actual song, is phenomenal. So that's my plug.
Very nice. I'll throw my couple plugs around. First off, Squiddle, if you're doing a drive with no sleep, and then probably sounds like you're going to be marathoning for a weekend or extended period of time.
Yes, and lots of beer. Free beer. So free beer in a case. A case of balls. Energy drink. Let me rephrase that. We'll be sitting at my station when I show up.
Can I suggest something to, like, you know, sort of go that little bit overboard?
Sure.
Black Blood of the Earth. I think there's a local dealer? They're called ambassadors, but there's a guy who walks a San Antonio, Houston, College Station beat in Texas that you could probably get a hookup from.
What is that?
Black Blood of the Earth is hyper-concentrated coffee that if you were to actually drink a liter of, you would die from caffeine overdose.
Ooh, I'm looking this up right now.
Yeah.
But I'm also not going alone. I'm carpooling with a friend.
Okay. Well,
so we're going to be switching off and driving.
Liter so you don't die.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think you can only buy like 750 milliliters at a time from these guys.
It's almost a liter.
Yeah, almost. They cap that wisely. But you can follow me on Twitter at Thurbleton, I think. I don't actually know my
Sounds right.
Yeah, we're going to go with that. I don't have TweetDeck open right now. So, also, I plan on streaming more often. I think now that I've, like, beaten Splunky, I'm probably not going to... I'll keep doing the daily things, but won't be archiving them on YouTube. I'm just going to do a much lazier, just stream it, try and be at a regular time, maybe do some Banner Saga streaming, maybe pretty much whatever game. I enjoyed streaming it for Black Mesa, so I'll probably do some, you know, more playthroughs like that.
And yes, it is. At Conrad Kirby.
At Conrad Kirby.
Man,
my real life alias.
Well, Black Blood. Black Blood of the Earth is $40 a bottle.
Super concentrated. Not surprising.
It is.
Yeah.
And they say do not consume. They recommend strongly consuming below 100 milliliters a day.
Man, that's intense.
Yeah.
Out of a 750 milliliter bottle.
Sounds too intense for me.
Yep. Which means if Squiddle does get this for his trip, he will more than likely be getting it for the PAX East trip as well and make you try some.
I think I will get... Come on. We'll all get drunk enough and try some. There's a point where...
As long as you show up with another bottle of peppermint schnapps.
I will.
That's funny.
We will go...
What is that bottle?
We will go to the hen house or whatever it's called. Get some
wings and waffles. Oh,
yes.
So good.
And then get a bottle of peppermint schnapps on our way out.
Wickerland next door. That was so funny. You get back in my car. What's that bottle of peppermint schnapps? Why'd you buy that? I don't know.
Oh, man. That was so good.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a good day. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a good day.
Penis.
All right, there we go. I did it.
You don't need to include the penis.
Yeah, I probably won't.
Oh, come on.
It just seems forced.
Does seem forced. I'm with Thurb on this one.
Well, you do. Never mind.
No one wants a forced penis. All right.